Packers all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Check in with our friend and teammate Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing on this fine Friday?
So it sounded like you might call me something else there. Our friend, were you gonna call me something else?
Because no, I've been called a lot of things. I was swallowing an apple. I was chomping on an apple during the break, and I found a little piece that just wanted to pop in and say hi. So it got in there, and then I was like, friend,
say hi.
We got a lot of stuff I want to ask you about. One. What? Mercedes Lewis was talking to Kay Adams. Did you see this interview? Did you catch their chit chat?
I did.
So him and Matt LaFleur are FaceTiming, apparently. Anytime we talk about FaceTiming in the Green Bay Packers, my brain immediately is like, oh, well, they have service. That's wonderful. Mercedes Lewis, is that something the Packers fans should be interested in? Should Packers fans be interested in a reunion? Because, again, for those keeping score, he is 41 years old, and that would seem to fly in the face of the idea of, building a very young roster.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I mean, look, I love Mercedes. Like, he was awesome when he was here. Those types of guys, first of all, from a reporter standpoint, are just so valuable because they have such a wealth of knowledge. It's like the old tight end that they had back in the 90s, if you could ever get to his damn locker in the corner, you would be smarter when you talk to him. As much as I would love to see him back in the locker room, they had a chance before he went to the Bears to keep him in their locker room. And you know Matt LaFleur, based on that conversation, but we knew this long before that conversation with Kay Adams, wanted him, but he's almost twice the age of the players that Goody wants, right? So, like, that's not what Goody wants in his locker room. And look, Matt LaFleur loves Mercedes Lewis. I mean, to the degree, and this is one of my favorite stories. I'm still trying to, can't remember who told me it, but I know I used it in a story, that LaFleur loves Mercedes Lewis so much that in like 2020 or 21, the assistant coaches for his birthday got him a Mercedes Lewis jersey as like a joke gift because he loves Mercedes so much, which I thought was a great joke by his staff. So, no, I mean, look, I would love to have him back. Matt LaFleur clearly would love to have him back. Matt LaFleur clearly would have loved for him to have never left, and I would agree. But unless Goody is going to give Matt LaFleur like his one roster mulligan, like he gave Aaron Rodgers, okay, fine. If it really is going to take this to get you to come back this year, I will trade for Randall Cobb. I don't see that happening.
Why doesn't he just make him a coach then, Jason?
They could do that. They could for sure do that. Now, I don't know. I think Mercedes sounded to me like he wants to play a little more, right? I mean, he's now surpassed Jason Witten and Tony Gonzalez for the longest tenured tight end in NFL history. But I think, you know, he is so, I understand he's 41, but he is so remarkably diligent about staying in great shape, much like yourself. That I don't think from a physical standpoint there's any question he could keep playing.
So this is just a Mercedes Lewis thing, and I shouldn't look into this as LaFleur wants more veterans on the roster?
Well, both things can be true.
Okay.
Right? Look,
because that was my initial takeaway that, yes, okay, you guys have a good relationship, and obviously Goody's not going to bring you back, so it's a moot point. But I also kind of walked away from that clip going, huh, kind of seems like LaFleur would like another veteran or two on the roster.
Do you correct people when they say it's a mute point, or do you just let that pass?
Usually I'll let Chewy just kind of keep cooking.
Always well comes played. Back to me, Jason.
It does indeed.
I guess it depends on how superior I want to feel in said relationship, Jason.
So you're telling Dario that all the time. So look, I would just say this. I think Matt LaFleur, in it, if you really got him with a couple of beers on the table, would say that they could use a couple of veterans. I don't think he wants a team full of veterans, right? Like he had early in his tenure, certainly not at quarterback. But like, I don't think he's necessarily looking for that, because there's drawbacks to that too, right? They all are set in their ways and they want to do things a certain way, and they're not maybe always open to the way you want to coach them or new ideas that you want to do. So I don't think he wants a team full of veterans, but I would agree with your premise, Gabe, that he would like to have a few more. But I think this is more an isolated, very old player who LaFleur likes very, very much. I mean, I would love to know if Matt LaFleur, again, with beers on the table, would admit that Mercedes Lewis is his favorite player he's ever coached. Because I think he probably would be telling the truth if he actually said that.
Jason, yesterday our buddies in the afternoon, Kyle Brust and Nortman, put up a poll. I'm actually scrolling through just to see if I can find it. What would be better for the Packers this season? Jordan Love leading the NFL in passing yards or Josh Jacobs leading the NFL in rushing yards?
Yeah, they asked me that question. And it led to a spirited discussion, because Kyle definitely wants Jordan Love to be a top flight player. And look, I don't blame them for that. But first of all, like, if you lead the league in passing yards, there's a good chance that you've been playing from behind a good chunk of the game. Because let's not forget, and I thought this stat was fascinating, the Packers ran the football last year on 52% of their offensive plays.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most they have run the football percentage-wise since 2003, which, if you need perspective on how flipping long ago that was, like, Mark Tauscher was a fourth-year player in the league. And that was the year that Amon Green set the franchise record for both rushing yards and touchdowns with 1,883 yards and 20 TDs. So the idea that, are you okay? Hey, are you okay? We're coughing up a hairball here, and then when a dog does that, that's not supposed to happen. I don't think Jordan Love throwing for 5,000 yards would be as good of a thing for this team as Josh Jacobs leading the league in rushing, because I think that would mean they'd be leading in a lot of games, doing 4-minute offense to grind out the clock. It would mean their offensive line is really good. I know I've used this stat with you guys a bunch, but when we were talking to Josh Jacobs the other day, he finished this, like, he interrupted me, which, again, I don't blame him because my questions are long. But, like, I was giving him that stat about Saquon Barkley and his 2,005 rushing yards and the fact that 1,328 of them came before contact. So you're talking like 65% of his yards came before he'd even been touched. And Josh Jacobs ran for 1,329 yards total, and more than 700 of them were after contact. So the majority of his yards were after he'd been touched. And so another thing that would make me answer the question the way I did with KBN is that if this offensive line restructuring with big Aaron Banks and with Elgton Jenkins, at least theoretically, once he gets his contract addressed, at center, and then being bigger, if that allows him to get more yards before he gets touched, like Saquon, there's a chance he could have a really, really big season if he stays healthy. So to me, this wasn't even a debate. So I'm curious if you guys found it debatable.
Chew?
Yeah. Yeah, because it means that he's
that
still going to be 12.
Is that Apple making another comeback?
That was a debatable. Chewy almost started a fight this morning on the production call regarding this.
I just think if he's the top, look, it's a quarterback-driven league. The quarterback is the most important player on the team. If he's the top yard getter in the NFL, that means he's a top five quarterback. You know?
So Tua's a top five quarterback?
But do you think he is?
No.
Okay,
is he a top five quarterback?
What are we talking about here?
I'd rather have my quarterback be the best player on the field as opposed to a running back. That's all I'm saying.
You played with your knucklehead buddy.
He is a knucklehead. Jason, why is it so hard for LaFleur to admit that Jordan Love regressed?
Well,
I mean, the numbers don't lie, Jason. Completion percentage. I mean, I get his touchdown interception ratio because he did miss three games. But
sure.
The completion percentage doesn't lie,
yeah,
which is a very important stat.
It is. And look, in fairness, 33 drops was tied for the third most in the league. So that affects your completion percentage. There's no doubt about it. But it's not like, let's be honest, it's not like they would have caught all 33 of them, right? Like,
yeah.
I think the stat was that the Eagles had fewer drops as a team than Wicks and Reed had individually. They had 7, Wicks had 9, and Reed had 10. So that's part of it. I thought it was really interesting. And look, I have no problem, although I was going to text McCarthy on this because when he would bust my chops, he was always really good at it. And I thought LaFleur busting my chops the other day, it kind of fell a little flat. Like, I don't mind, especially when it's, you know, a player or a coach's. Like, maybe if it's a fellow beat writer, I'm a little less receptive to it. But like when I asked him about Love and what he needs to do for them, how much he needs to improve or be more productive, and he had that line. I don't know if you guys heard him say this about, you know, well, maybe someone with your someone who's a physical specimen like yourself, that was a dodge because he didn't want to answer the question. And then unfortunately for him, I was able to follow up and say, no, really, my athleticism notwithstanding, regardless of his health, how much more do you need him to give you if you want to get to where you want to go? And then he went into the drops and he went into the, it's not always the quarterback, and he went into the injuries that he dealt with. And look, I don't think Jordan Love needs you to prop him up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do think, you know, Jordan Love, and I had walked away because I wanted to talk to Josh Jacobs, and he was walking into the room at the time. But someone asked him, Wednesday, about taking a step back. And I don't know if I've ever seen him get prickly, but he did not like that question at all, and he pushed back on it. And, you know, we can have a semantics debate about, well, did he regress? Did he take a step back? Or did he just not take a step forward and that kind of thing? The bottom line is that whether the injuries were a factor, whether the drops were a factor, he was not as good. Like, think about what he was in the final 8 games of the 2023 season. Now, is it fair to expect him to be that guy for 17 games at this point in his development? Hell no. That heater that he was on, 70% completion percentage, 2,150 yards, 18 touchdowns, 1 pick, 112.7 passer rating in those last 8 games. And then he went to Dallas and had a perfect passer rating before LaFleur put him back in and Tucker Kraft dropped the ball because he was nervous that the Cowboys were going to come back. Like, he was that 9-game stretch, they were 7-2, and he was great, right?
Yeah.
How many times did you watch him last year, too, and go, oh, he looks just like he did during that? The Toyota-thon thing last year was a myth.
Yeah, for the first couple of games, the Toyota-thon thing was, and then it kind of faded. But I guess the question now, Jason, is because maybe Jordan Love thinks he took a step forward last year. So then the question becomes, okay, whether you think whatever happened between year one, year two, do you have to be better in order for the team to get to where they want to go? And the answer to that question, unequivocally, from LaFleur, from Love, from Adam Stenovich, from whomever, the answer is going to be yes. He has to be better if they want to get to where they need to go.
Yeah, or maybe the, look, I have a theory on that. Tausch and I were talking about this yesterday because, look, I think there's it's undeniable that he does. He has to be better. And if he's healthier, you could easily say, look, if he'd have been healthy, he would have been better. You can also say, the girls hear me use that growth is not linear line all the time because there are going to be setbacks and how do you deal with them? And last year, there were setbacks. And by the way, I'm not saying the injuries didn't factor in his play, but he is following two guys. Like, Favre is obviously the king of this, but Rodgers was no slouch either. That managed to be really, really good quarterbacks even when they weren't fully healthy, right? Like, you obviously played with Favre when he was doing that. I mean, Rodgers throwing with a separated throwing shoulder. Rodgers playing down the stretch in 14 with a torn calf. Rodgers playing the 18 season with a fracture in his tibial plateau in his knee, coming back and leading a comeback in that opener when he left on a cart. Like, you have to, in the NFL, you're gonna have to play through stuff. And it you can say that it affected him, but then you have to find a way to still be that guy, if you're not 100%.
But Jason, this is what bothers me. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Because they're willing to say, oh, Zach Tom, he was hurt. Yeah. You know, he didn't have a great year, but he finished third in All-Pro voting. Well, you know who didn't even get a vote in All-Pro voting? Jordan Love. So why does he get a pass when it comes to being a little banged up, but now all of a sudden our right tackle, who thought was the future, has to compete?
Yeah, and Zach Tom had a torn pectoral muscle.
Correct.
He never had enough strength in that arm all season long. Like, because as you well know, you can't. Your training is majorly affected by that, so you're not going to have the strength all season long. Mm-hmm. You didn't lift from April until September. Like, these are all fair points. I would just leave it at this because I know you guys got to go. Jordan Love doesn't need your coddling,
right?
Whether you're Matt LaFleur or Steno or a fan. Like, I get all these fans who say that I hate him, and it pisses me off to no end because you know who doesn't think he played well enough? He didn't like the phrasing of that question. There's no doubt about it. But you know who knows he has to play better? Jordan Love. He doesn't need you to make these excuses for him. And if he's healthy, he will play better. I am not in any way down on him or writing him off. It was year two as a starter. But I did say this to him. Year three, the guy that came before him made a huge jump as a player, made a huge jump as a leader, and won a freaking Super Bowl. I'm not saying he has to do that this year, but we all agree he has to move much closer. If he's going to be the latest in this succession line, he's got to move a lot closer to what Rodgers did in year three than what he did himself in year two.
Yeah, and Jason, I would make the argument that insulating him from that criticism is a beige flag. It's not a red flag, but it's a beige flag. Why does the organization, why does Matt LaFleur think he needs to protect him from the obvious? We all see it. We all see it. That to me is something that I think deserves, you know, some digging as the season goes on. If it continues, we do have to let you go. We got to get to Craig Karmazin, but that was really great stuff. And we appreciate you spending some time with us on this Friday morning.
Everybody take care. Be good.
That's Jason Wilde and Tausch, right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, Monday through Friday here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We'll take a break. I wonder what Craig thinks about it. If he's one of those guys who like feels like you need to insulate certain people from criticism, or if he's like straight shooter, no, you need to be better. As a guy in a leadership position, I'm curious about his take on that. We'll get that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The next best round of golf for you, it's going to happen at the Wisconsin Country Club. Do what I did. Become a member out at the Wisconsin Country Club. No assessments, no food and beverage minimums, and a beautiful course that's fun and challenging. It's my favorite part of being a member out there. That and the great practice facilities. But maybe you're looking for something more than just the golf. Well, of course, they've got tennis, pickleball courts, and a pool with themed Sunday fun days each and every week for the kiddos. Get started today. Visit thewisconsincountryclub.com for membership info. The Wisconsin Country Club, just a fairway away.